Good morning. I hope you all had a good time at the fellowship last night and rested well. And let me say this before I get started and forget that I appreciate all your kindness and to me and to my family and the hospitality that you've showed us and the love. I have not been among the Primitive Baptists very long, maybe about 8 or 9 years. And I've only been preaching maybe 4 or 5 years. But in that time, we figured up that we'd been to about 50 different Primitive Baptist churches filling in and different things. And everywhere you go, every one of those that we've gone to, it's been the same spirit. When we sing as a congregation, it's the same sound. And I always thought that was interesting, that right now, somewhere over in or at Bethlehem, they're about to start singing. And whether I was there or here, the sound of all of God's people singing together sounds the same. You ever notice that? Yeah. It doesn't change from church to church, really. It all sounds the same when we sing together. Now, individually, we sound different, but not together. And so it's always encouraging to me when I go to different places to hear those things and to be reminded that there's one Spirit and there's one God, and He dwells in His people. And you've been very kind to us, and it's been encouraging to me to see that. I want to share just a few thoughts with you this morning as we get started out of the book of Exodus. I'm going to start in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Now, most of you know, because Brother David has said it many, many times since I've been here, that my last name is Hagler, H-A-G-L-E-R. And I'm not sure where that comes from. I'm not sure where my family history from an earthly standpoint. I'm not exactly sure where all our people came from. But I have the last name Hagler, and I have that last name because that's the last name that my dad had. And so when I was born, they took a birth certificate and they decided to name me Timothy, Luke, and then Hagler came from my father, and they put that on my birth certificate. So I'm a Hagler by birth. And as I got older, my dad began to teach me, and my mom too, but primarily my dad in this sense. He began to teach me that that meant something to have that last name. And he began to teach me that because I had that last name, that when I went out, I represented our family. And that I was to conduct myself in such a way that I did not bring any shame or reproach upon that name. And that I was to be a good representative of our family. And I thought a lot about that, you know, and my dad was and still is a wonderful man, godly man. And even today, when maybe I'm faced with temptation, I think about that sometimes. That for me to stumble and fall, in a way, brings shame to that name. And in a way, it could bring shame to my family. And so many times, the strength that I found to resist temptation was that thought that I did not want to bring disrespect to the name that my father gave me, because that name represented all of us. And so that has helped me throughout the years to conduct myself in such a way that brings honor to that name. When I was 22 years old, Tiffany and I got married. Her name was Robertson, Tiffany Robertson. And when we got married and we said our vows and said I do's and the rings and all that kind of stuff, they turned us around and presented us to the people that were there that day. And when they did that, they introduced us as a couple, but specifically her, for the very first time, that this is now Mr. and Miss Luke Hagler. This is Tiffany Hagler. She is no longer Tiffany Robertson. She's now Tiffany Hagler, meaning that in that sacred ceremony, she took my name. And while my father gave me my last name, in turn, I turned around and she took that last name through the bonds of marriage. And similarly to the way my dad told me, of course, we never sat down and she and I never really sat down and talked about this. It was just, you just kind of know these things, then it's expected. That because you've now taken my name, That means that you and I, she and I, have a special relationship. Really, above all other relationships, she is now my wife who carries my name. And I do expect for her to conduct herself in such a way that honors that name. Not in the sense that, in the sense that that name that she's taken means she's married to me. Now, for her to go out and to be flirtatious or to engage in activities with other men that would be ungodly is to dishonor that name. And so I'm so pleased to have a wife who has taken my name and carried it with honor and with dignity and with respect, because it shows me that the relationship that she and I have means something to her. It shows me that it's something that she honors and she wants to keep. Now, we have a couple in our church back home, and maybe that's true here too, but a couple in our church back home who had two children, and they felt the burden to adopt a child. And so they went to China, and through a long, long process, they went to adopt a child. And his name, I can't even pronounce it to say it. So, but it was a Chinese name, and I won't try to pronounce it. But they went over and they got that child, and they did the paperwork, and they signed on the lines and everything. And once that process was completed, whatever last name he had was done away with. And he took the last name of that family. And so now when I go see his name, his first name is Keegan. They gave him the American name Keegan. And so now when I see Brother Keegan, I know that's Brother Keegan Moss. And he belongs to Brother Wayne and Sister Karen. Because through that process of adoption, he has taken on their name. So what I'm trying to explain to you is there's three ways in my mind that you can take somebody's name. You can take their name through the birth process. You can take their name through the marriage process. Or you can take their name through the adoption process.
Right.
Now, in Exodus, the 20th chapter, we're all very familiar with this, where the Lord is speaking to Moses and he is writing his laws with his finger in tablets of stone, tables of stone. And one of the laws that he gives Moses here to give to his people in verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, or to see it as worthless. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And I think a lot of times, typically, when we think of that, we think about taking the Lord's name in vain in a sense that we use his name to express some sort of profanity. And certainly that can be true. You can read over in Leviticus, I believe it's the 19th chapter, where it says, "Thou shalt not profane the name of the Lord." So certainly to go out and use the Lord's name in any way other than expressing reverence, respect, and love, according to the Bible, would be inappropriate. His name is a powerful name. It's the name above all names. And it's interesting to me in the book of Philippians that it talks about every knee bowing and every tongue confessing. Well, it doesn't say that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess at the brightness of his splendor. It doesn't say they're going to bow down and confess at just the beauty and the majesticness of his person. It says it's at the name of Jesus that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess. So it is a wonderful name. And it is a name that we should highly regard and respect and never use it to show our frustration or disgust.
That's right.
Certainly. But primarily, I think the thing here to understand is that my father told me, "Don't you take my name and live in such a way that people will look at you and think, that's worthless to him. His last name doesn't mean anything to him." My wife took my name, and she can go out and live in such a way that either brings an honor, or she can live in such a way that brings a sense of worthlessness to it when people watch her. And so the Lord says here, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord, of the Lord thy God, in vain. Now, I want to look very quickly here for just a few minutes and try to use the Bible to explain that all of God's people have taken his name. And we have taken it in three different ways. And I want to show you that this morning. The first way I'd like to show you is in, if you flip to Ephesians, the first chapter. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption, did you notice that? Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In the same way that my friend went overseas to China, walked into an orphanage, found a boy who had been left at a doorstep that nobody wanted, took him, made him their own, and stamped their name on him, and said, this child is my child, and he will carry my name, indicating that he is ours for the rest of his life. Now, that's what the Lord has done for us. The Lord has gone and found us when we did not know him, we did not seek him, we did not understand him, we did not want him. He was not in all of our thoughts. We were not born with a desire in the smallest way to seek him out, unless you were born again by the Spirit of God in the womb. But still, he went to us when we didn't know him. And he walks into there and he takes us and he makes us his own and gives us his name. And then tells us, don't take that name in vain. I've given you my name. You wear my name. When I was in school, high school, junior high, you know, and it may be still big nowadays. I don't notice it as much, but it was a big deal to go into the sporting goods store and to get a jersey with some pro athlete's name on the back. Back in my time, it was Michael Jordan. Man, if you had a Michael Jordan jersey, in some kind of way, it made me feel kind of like I had some of the attributes of Michael Jordan, which I have none, you know. But it made me feel that way. Hey, I'm wearing Michael Jordan's jersey. We got some kind of connection. Well, in a weird kind of way, that's how we ought to feel about the Lord. That the Lord has put his name on us and we carry his name through every hour of our day. As he is our Father and we are his children, and we should conduct ourselves in such a way that brings glory and honor to his name, not a vain worthlessness. So the Father gave you his name through adoption. But the Father also gave you his name through a marriage. And you could read many, many, many times in the Bible that the Lord describes his children as a bride. And in Revelations, the 21st chapter, it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And it says in verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, back in the Old Testament, marriage was a little bit different than it is today. Back in the Old Testament, you had what you called a bride price. It's different than a dowry. This is a bride price. And it was essentially the price that a man had to pay to a father in exchange for his daughter to be wed to him. And you can read about that in the book of Genesis in multiple times. When there's a bride, Rebekah the bride, is sought for Isaac. Abraham loads down his servant with many gifts. And the Bible says The servant goes to Rebekah's father, and he gives all those gifts to her family. And that was the price that was to be paid for Rebekah to come back with him. That's a bride price. Well, the Bible tells us in Acts, the 20th chapter, that the church of God was purchased. But it was purchased not with silver and gold, but it was purchased with the blood of Jesus. Acts 20, 28. So Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, goes to his Father, and in exchange for all of his people, he offers up his blood.
Yeah.
And when he did that, he purchased all of God's people. And when he brought those people into the union of what the Bible describes as a marriage, they took his name. Just like my wife has taken my name. The Father puts his name on us through adoption. Jesus Christ has put his name on us through marriage. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit puts his name on us through birth. We read over in John, the 3rd chapter, if you want to turn over there, very familiar passages of Scripture. In John, the 3rd chapter, in verse 3, it said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see or experience the kingdom of God. And it goes on and says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I've always found it fascinating as I've come among the Primitive Baptists and I've heard the Word of God explained how they differentiated between the role of the Father and the role of the Son and the role of the Holy Spirit. And the Father in foreknowing and predestinating, and the Son of redeeming and atoning for the sins of the people, and for the Holy Spirit, which is such a wonderful thing for us, that he could have done the first and the second and not have to have done the third. But he said, here are my people that I have made my own, and I've stamped my name on them, and essentially they wear my jersey with my name on the back. But I want to do something very special for them and give them the earnest of the inheritance that I've promised them. And there's going to come a time between conception and death that I'm going to go into their heart and take out that stony heart that does not feel and is not sensitive towards me. And I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh that wants to cry out, Abba, Father. A heart of flesh that when they're broken into despair, there's something inside of them that says, cry out to your Father. And so he gives us the Spirit of God. And the Bible says, because we are sons, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And I think that's a wonderful thing for us, to have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. And the process that the Bible says, it labels that process as being born again. And when I was a child, do you know I don't remember being conceived? Had no knowledge of it. Don't remember it. You know, I don't remember what it was like when I was 6 months in the womb of my mother. Can't remember it. I don't remember what happened the day I was born. I don't remember being born. I don't remember being cleaned up. I don't remember them handing me to my mother for the first time. I don't really remember anything. I maybe could have some vague memories, 5 or 6 years old. But I don't remember that. But nonetheless, whether I remembered it or realized it or not, when I was laying in the hands of my Father, I was his son.
Amen.
And he cared for me, and he loved me, and I carried his name, even though I didn't realize who I was.
Amen.
But then as I grew, and his face became more familiar to me, and I began to realize he was tender towards me, and that he was taking care of me. And that he loved me. And he was the one that I needed to go to when I was in distress.
Yeah.
And eventually I began to learn, this is just no random person.
Yeah.
This is my Father.
Yeah.
And that's really what the gospel does for us, is it not?
Yeah. Amen.
God, that information didn't make me his son. I had
Amen.
Already been his son. But it told me who I was and how I got here.
Yeah.
And so my Father would hold me and love me and teach me. And he gave me his name.
Amen.
In the same way, we don't always know, like Brother Daniel was talking about, we don't always know the exact minute, day, time that we were born again. Maybe you do, but most of us don't. Most of us maybe just started to feel something a little bit different, but didn't know what it was. We didn't know that we were in the arms of our Father.
That's right.
We didn't know that He had stamped His name on us.
That's right.
But as time went by, we began to recognize His face more and more.
Amen.
We began to recognize that Spirit more and more. Why? Because we had been born to Him by the Spirit of God, and He made us His own. And when He did that, through the birth process, we took His name.
Yeah.
So the point I want you to see this morning is the Father adopted us into His family, and He gave us His name. The Son brought us into that family through marriage, and we are His bride, and we take His name. The Spirit of God borns us again, and through that birthing process, we take on His name.
Amen.
Child of God, you carry the name of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
It is no small thing that you carry the name of God. I am grateful to carry the name Hagler because it identifies me with my father and my mother, who are the salt of the earth, most wonderful people you'll ever meet. And likewise, I am thankful and humble to carry the name of God because that name will cause every knee to bow and every tongue to confess. And that name is an evidence that I have been adopted and I am the bride of Christ and that I've been born again. Now, when I carry that name, in the Ten Commandments, the Lord made it sure that we knew you carry His name, but don't carry it in vain.
That's right.
Don't live our lives. We should not speak. We should not behave. We should not think in a way that sends the message that that name is worthless to me.
Amen.
We should conduct ourselves in such a way where people see, hey, that name means something to them. That name is powerful to them. Now, did you know that you're my brothers and you're my sisters? Because we have been adopted by the same Father. And we've been married to the same Christ. And we've been born again by the same Spirit. And so whether I'm at McClenny or whether I'm at Bethlehem, we should see a resemblance of each other, which should be a reflection of our Father.
Amen.
Right? And that's what I tried to tell you at the beginning. When I go different places, to different Primitive Baptist churches, and listen to places and with people and friends that are not Primitive Baptist, yet just like my brother, my only brother, he and I carry the same DNA and some of the same mannerisms and characteristics and features of our Father. And when we go out in public, a lot of times people identify us that way, by that. That when we go out into public and we live our lives and we go to our jobs, people should look at us and say, that's a child of the Father. That is the Son of God. You shall know them by their fruits. Now, it doesn't say you shall not know them by their lack of fruits. Notice that. I'm not in the business of telling anybody they're not a child of God unless the Bible specifically lays it out.
That's right.
But the fruits of the Spirit are the evidences that we've taken on His name. And I encourage you, child of God, as your brother and as you, my brothers and sisters, let's not take it in vain.
Amen.
Let's walk in a way that brings honor and respect to the name of God.
Amen.
Because He is most worthy of it. And I hope that's been profitable to you.
Take the name of Jesus with you. Shout the song and the glory. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it and where you go. Precious name of our Savior. Love of birth and joy of heaven. Precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I tell you, the Lord bless Brother Luke. You know, I was praying for him. I knew he was.